plate a potential nugget.
In the book, you say that regret doesn't always have a positive effect. If you let it linger too long, or if you replay the regret too often, it can have the opposite effect. How do you think about the Goldilocks balance of, you know, using regrets to improve our condition?
It's a really, really important point, and it's super important here. So we have to look for sort of a third way in. So some of us are taught, okay, you've got emotion. I think part of it is that most of us haven't been taught how to deal well with negative emotions. And so at some level, some of us, you know, people who, you know, I think there's a slight, there might be a slight bias for people who have high levels of formal education, who say, well, no emotion, emotions. No, that's not a real signal. Like you ignore emotions. Emotions aren't real. Ignore them. That's a bad idea. Then there are other folks who think that emotions are the main source of truth. And so they wallow in their negative emotions. So emotions are not for ignoring. They're not for wallowing. Emotions are for thinking. Emotions are signals. Emotions are data. Emotions are information that's coming in, and you actually have to confront them. If you don't, and what happens sometimes is people spend so much time ignoring the emotions that eventually the dam breaks and they can't ignore them anymore, and then they end up wallowing them. So, and I think a big part of it is that no one ever teaches us how to deal with negative emotions. And so we don't have a good, you know, underlying theory about what feelings are for. You know, in my view, feelings are, especially negative feelings, negative feelings are for thinking. We got to think about our negative feelings as signals, as messages, as data, as knocks on the door, at whatever metaphor you want to. And so we shouldn't be terrified by it or brought down by it, but we shouldn't neglect it either. It's an email that we have to answer. But the problem is that most of us haven't been taught how to do that effectively. And I think that's a big problem. I was looking for massive, again, I don't, the qualitative stuff from around the world, you know, by its very nature, I can't draw stark conclusions from, but I'm really curious about whether there are cultures or traditions that do a better job of dealing with helping people, equipping people with deal with negative emotion.
A related point came up in a different context when I spoke to Tasha Urich at the podcast in the context of how we introspect. She's the author of the book Insight, which is a masterclass on how do we develop greater self-awareness. She talks about both internal and external self-awareness. She says that if we're not careful, it's easy for us to go down the rabbit hole of rumination, and that can be really unproductive. She goes on to speak about the kind of questions we should ask ourselves and how the question we ask can have a significant impact on the quality of self-awareness that we build.
I knew that we would find that the more people introspected, the better off they'd be. And that was the opposite of what our data showed. So we found that people who self-reflected often were more anxious, more stressed, more depressed, less satisfied with their jobs and their relationships. They were even less in control of their lives. And we're just sitting there going, oh my gosh, maybe self-awareness is bad, right? Maybe delusion is actually what we want to be fostering, because this doesn't seem like it makes sense. And as we started to dig into some of the data, we started to discover that thankfully, it's not that introspection in and of itself is bad. It's just that the way most of us introspect is completely wrong. And the best way to illustrate this, you know, again, without having 2 hours to delve into it, is to think about probably what the most common introspective question is for most people, which is the question, why? So we might be trying to understand why we're in a bad mood. You know, you could say, why am I so upset after that conversation with my coworker? Or we might be trying to understand a bad outcome. You know, like, why didn't I get that promotion? Or we might be even trying to understand why we believe what we believe. You know, why do I want that promotion? But as it turns out, those questions, not only do they lead us away from true insight about ourselves, they give us a false sense of confidence about our knowledge. So, for example, Sigmund Freud was wrong. He believed in his work that people could access their unconscious, right? So like, really, why am I upset? If I just excavate, if I just think long and hard and ask that why question, I can find the answer. But what research has shown for decades, actually, is that no matter how hard we try, we can't access so many of those things. It's what I mentioned earlier about the behavior and emotion and knowledge blindness. Mm-hmm. So what happens is we find an answer that feels true, even if it's wrong. So that's an example of where it can lead us away from the truth rather than towards it. Another reason why is a really dangerous question, introspectively, is it has been shown over and over and over to depress us. You know, you think about it, like, why didn't I get that promotion? If you're not careful, you can start asking questions where the answers are, well, because I'm just a fundamentally bad person and who would want to promote me? And you can kind of get stuck in, I call it the rabbit hole of rumination. And so what we wanted to do in our study was understand, okay, if why is the wrong question, what is the right question? You know, what are these unicorns doing differently than the rest of us? And it took us a little while to find this pattern, but we discovered that when unicorns introspected, they almost never asked why questions. They asked what questions. And at first I thought, like, oh, that's just a weird sort of fluke or a weird nuance. But as we started to look into it, it started to make a huge amount of sense. So one example would be, you know, going back to the question, why didn't I get that promotion? Mm-hmm. Unicorns, if they were in that situation, wouldn't ask themselves that question. Here's some questions they might have asked instead. What did I learn that can help me be better positioned in the future? Or what can I do to close the gap between, you know, where I thought I was and where I need to be? Or what support can I enlist from the people around me to help me, you know, achieve this goal the next time I set it? Or, you know, going back to why am I so upset about that conversation with my coworker? They might instead ask, well, what part of that situation did I own? Or what can I do differently in the future to avoid that kind of conversation with that person? And so what we found was asking what instead of why really helps us avoid so many of the pitfalls of introspection, where we, you know, we're excavating for the truth that we're never going to find, and we're focusing on our problems and feeling victimized and disempowered. So I think what I loved about that is it's a really tangible tool that I think we can take away. It seems subtle, but the difference is just huge. And I'm speaking from personal experience as I've started to use that as well.
Like Tasha says, it's important for us to be careful about how we deal with regret so that we don't get into a wallowing mode, as Dan says, and get the most value from them.